B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 3 o'clock in the Delaware Valley and on the Mike Mussinelli Show, 3 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Corbley's Bakery and Deli, World Famous Tomato Pie, Hoagie Party Chase. Every bit is good. Continue the conversation with Sixers and Flyers. But I swear to God, I don't know how people's brains work sometimes. So I get this email from a guy, and he says, let me see if I can find this here. Why the hell is Korkmaz playing that many minutes? The ghost of Nick Ashford could score 20 on him. Now, where is that coming? Where's Nick Ashford coming to the guy's head? But now he's got me thinking, because I was a big Ashford and Simpson fan.
Yeah.
And I had two of their albums. And the one I had, I remember the album covers. Just like I remember that Rufus cover.
Yeah.
The one album cover, they had their arms intertwined with each other's heads.
Yeah.
You remember this thing? Uh-huh. You know what album I'm talking about? Yeah.
My grandpa had it. I don't remember the name.
Their arms went into their head.
Yeah.
And I had that album was called, because it was a single. It was a great song. Is It Still Good to You? Is It Still Good to You?
Yes.
Was the song, right?
Yeah, that's the song.
And that was the name of the album, I think.
I find all the albums.
But I was a huge Ashford Simpson fan. I also had one of their albums called So, So Satisfied.
By the way, with the arms intertwined and all that stuff, that is It Still Good to You?
Is It Still Good to You?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
All right, so...
that is correct.
Yeah, we got to play Is It Still Good to You? I loved them.
Yeah.
Ashford Simpson.
They were great.
They were great songwriters. In fact, they wrote the Chaka Khan hit.
They wrote quite a few.
They wrote I'm Every Woman.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm familiar with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Nick Asher was fierce looking.
Yeah, he looked like Lionel from Thundercats a little bit.
Yeah, he was fierce.
I feel like he always thought he was fierce looking. Yeah.
And they did Solid as a Rock. Yep. You ever hear that song?
Oh, yeah. That's them?
That's Asher and Simpson.
That's them.
Oh, they have a lot of songs that I probably know.
They have a lot of songs. They did a lot. Right? They had about 20 albums, I think. They had a lot of albums.
A lot of albums. They wrote some of the songs they wrote. Ain't No Mountain High Enough, they wrote.
Yes.
What?
You're All I Need to Get By, they wrote.
Yeah, they're great songwriters.
Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, they wrote.
Yes. So
Reach Out and Touch
makers.
Somebody's Hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm Every Woman, they wrote. And Teddy Pendergrass also did a version of Is It Still Good to You?
Yes.
Oh.
They wrote Is It Still Good to You? I got to hear that in this hour.
Yeah. I want to hear them too.
But they also, he died.
Yes.
She is still a lot. In fact, did they both sing or was it just her at Barack Obama's inauguration in 2009? She sang, I don't know if he was there.
He had been in poor health.
Yeah. She sang Solid as Barack.
Yeah.
Is what she sang.
Yeah. She was.
See what she did there?
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, she's still with us.
Yes.
But yeah, they wrote for... Stevie Wonder, Luther.
Where's this? Like the guy who emails me, why the hell is Korkmaz playing that many minutes? The ghost of Nick Ashford can score. Now, where's Nick Ashford popping into the guy's hat?
And could he hoop?
That's what I'm fascinated by. Like thoughts that come into somebody's head.
He could have said any name
exactly.
in the world.
Exactly, Nick Ashford. All right, Darren in Mount Airy. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Darren.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
What's up, Darren?
Mike, I'm still laughing about this Ashford and Simpson. Is It Still Good to You? But that's another
thing. Is it still good to you?
Okay, wait a minute, Mike. Don't make me laugh. Wait, hold on. Natalie, Ty, how y'all doing today? I'm assuming y'all saying y'all doing good. Mike,
you know,
I talk about the Flyers and I talk about the Sixers. I want to talk about the Sixers first. Mike, I'm an optimistic person, you know, and I'm not the type to overreact over one game. However, I got two concerns.
Mm-hmm.
One, and it has both to do with the coach. Number one is the rotation. When you bring Korkmaz in, and I think I heard y'all talk about it, you can't take MB off the court. You're not going to bring Pelly in because he can't do everything that Horford can do. And Horford's not a rim protector. That's my first decision.
Yeah.
One is I didn't hear anything about a team meeting after that altercation. I coached the Army team, and whenever we had an altercation with the team, we had a meeting. I didn't hear anything about that. That's a concern But that's a concern for me with the Sixers right now, you know, because I believe things going to happen, but you got to talk through it. And we
apparently they hammered it out and they were good by the end of the game. I just didn't like the way Shake did not comment on it. Like, so Shake doesn't have the clout not to address it. Like, he's got to say, he's got to defer to Embiid in that situation. Go, listen, I got a little heated up and I had no, you know, I'm sorry. And then Embiid's got to say the same thing, basically. Like that, right, that bonds teams together. But Shake can't be like big time and go, like he didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Now, I do like that Embiid did say something. It's a genesis of a new thing. Him speaking up, you know, because great leaders on teams, they have to do that. So,
I got to be honest with you. I don't like that kind of thing on the floor. If Embiid was dissatisfied with him, I don't know that you show up the dude on the floor. Because then that lights the fuse, you know?
Yeah, you're not supposed to show him up. You get to the bench and you pull him to the side. You do a right seat ride with him. Hey, blah, 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 blah. And then you keep moving to the game. You know, doing it out there where everybody see it in the first game is not a good show.
And he showed his disgust with him by inbounding the ball, like, you know, dude. You know, I don't know if you should do that.
No, I don't. And Mike, let me talk about these Flyers because we talked about this last week. I love his mentality to make the jump. The Flyers beat the Bruins not because of the young league, but because we have a coach that can make adjustments on the fly. We had jabronis in the past that didn't know how to make adjustments in game, which resulted in losses for us. Now, we see the transition from a mediocre coach to a coach that knows what to do and is producing results. And I like where the Flyers are going. And they're going to have to continue to do that. I like what Carter Hart is doing in goal. I love the fourth line. I'm concerned about Raffle. Did you guys get any update on Raffle?
Yeah, we haven't had an update on Raffle yet. We're actually trying to talk with Elaine Vigneault today. So, but we'll get the information on that. Here's the thing that I see with the Flyers. And this, a lot of credit has to go to Chuck Fletcher. Because he's assembled a team of eager guys. Like, every one of them is eager. You see the way they play from lines 1 through 4. And there's a certain mentality. You got to read a certain mentality into a player. Like, you got to read the mentality. They obviously read the mentality of Kevin Hayes. But they read the mentality in Thompson also. Like, he's an eager player. Yeah. And on the fourth line, you assemble, like, a little bit of skill with eagerness. And you get contributions out of that line.
You know who I'm starting to like when I'm watching him? That Pitlick guy.
Yeah, he's an eager guy.
Yeah.
He knows a role, right?
Yeah.
And they have a little bit of jump. They can get up and down a little bit.
I think that they're really athletic. I don't know what the hockey term for athletic is, but these guys jumped on Boston and had Boston on the back of their skates.
Yeah.
And they weren't really ready for these guys being on them that way. They get point A to point B fast.
Yeah, exactly. You got to know a mentality of a player who's willing to do that kind of thing. Now, I remember the days of Laviolette. He thought, like, he would waste time with the Ronaldos of the world.
Right.
Right.
He thought that was the way to burn a fourth line. You know, to have a little guy who hits or whatever. But these guys, you have to defend these guys, too.
Yeah,
because they got a little jump.
No shift off. And the captain almost had one early.
Yeah.
I know he doesn't get enough credit. Mm. Off the post. And
yeah,
I think
he banged that one.
And that's when the game, I thought, because it was 0-0. And once he got that chance, I think that loosened everybody up. Because it was like, see, they'll bleed. Something like that. Then they jumped on it. So I would give the captain a little credit.
Yeah, that would be very pleasing to watch that game. Sharp on a cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sharp.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up,
Mike?
Sharp?
Hey, Tyrone.
How you doing?
Listen to the other caller. Good call. I'm not optimistic, though. This is not a one-game thing. This has been going on ever since we got the team assembled. I think Brett has to go. It's over for him.
That's going to solve itself. through these playoffs. He's not going anywhere now.
I know he's not.
Yeah, I love the tweets after a game like that. You got to go now.
Nothing's going to change, though. I just think that the change in the positions with Ben was not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But that should have happened way before when we had a ball-dominant guard that was good that we drafted. We wasted a draft pick on with Markel. Why didn't you do that then? Why are you doing it now? It's too late for that. You waiting for Shake Milton shouldn't even be in this position. Shake Milton shouldn't even be on the team. You see what I'm saying? Like, you had a ball dominant guard. He came in from college. You knew what he was. You tried to make him an off the ball shooter in the middle of the season. And then you claim that he has a shoulder problem.
I hear the point you're trying to make. I don't think it would have worked out with that dude anyway. So you're saying that you should have given him the ball and moved Ben to the four from the jump?
But not even just that. Like, okay, that didn't work. You trade him. That's a wasted draft pick. Cool. You bring in multiple other guards that could have played at the point, and you don't give them a chance.
Yeah, who was that? No, you're not going down Trey Burke Road, are you? Are you going down Trey Burke Avenue with me?
He just had.
Come on, stop it.
Dallas. All right, no, not even just that. It's other things that happen with this guy. He doesn't do right with the rotations of the players on the court.
No, I'm in agreement with you there, Sean. I just questioned, like, who were all these guards that they could have had that would solve that kind of problem.
I mean, way better than Shaq.
The only one that had those kind of number one skills was Trey Burke, and he was a flake. You see him, he gets bouncing around all over the place. Why? It's everybody else's fault. Let's go, Chris in North Wildwood. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, Mikey, man.
What's going on, Chris?
Just calling in, want to talk Sixers. I really think it's a culture problem there. Honestly, I think Ben Simmons is a terrible leader. Not even a leader at all. I think also the front office has been giving away draft picks, like the last guy said. Like, not sticking in there with Markelle Fultz. Not a lot of things going on. Like, letting go of Trey Burke in the middle of the season for no reason and giving the ball to Shake Milton. Like, who is this dude? Like, I don't even.
I don't know that you're hitting the button, to be honest with you. You couldn't. The Fultz thing was done. There was no way to salvage that thing. And the Trey Burke, come on, we're talking about a journeyman type of guy.
I mean, but it's the middle of the season. You got no one else, you know. I don't think there was anyone else, you know. Shake Milton.
It's easy to look. He was bad in that game, but he hadn't been bad. He was giving him a little something. This is what I think. You have to hold on with the Shake thing. Now, did I think we overvalued him? Yeah, maybe a tad, but he still provides a skill, and we'll see. Maybe it was just a bad game for the kid. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just going off the one game. I'm just saying, like, even when we had Trey Burke, we didn't even play him. Like, he played.
But there's a reason for that, Chris.
I mean, the dude scored 30 points.
Stop it. Come on.
He scored 30 points the other night, Chris,
Trey Burke has been with how many teams?
I think five or something.
Why? Why do you think that?
I don't know.
Because everybody's misjudging him?
I mean, there's a lot of good players that have been with a lot of teams. Look at Lou Williams. Look at dudes that can score. Like, he can score. I'm not saying he's the greatest defender, but...
Yeah, this is two callers that put up Trey Burke in a row? What, are you kidding me? What are we talking about here today? Trey Burke?
He's been with...
Yearning.
You got to be kidding me. Trey Burke talk.
He's been with five teams. He's 27, by the way. He's been on five teams already, including Dallas twice.
Also, we're lamenting the loss of Trey Burke here if they lose the Indiana Pacers. What am I, crazy?
And we got to go, and they're going by one 30-point game. So how come no one's using the 39-point game Shake had if it's just one game? And I'm not saying Shake clearly played terrible, but that doesn't mean he is terrible. Just because he played one, and that doesn't mean Burke's a star.
We are clearly overreacting when we're bringing in the names Markelle Fultz and Trey Burke. That ship's sailed. Enough.
Yeah, you can't go that far back.
Waiting for the Shamit call next. We're having a Shamit call at 3 o'clock hour.
You know, I didn't like how Tobias is just a guy. He's overpaid. We should have just kept Shamit. That's going to come.
Yeah, he had a bad early game.
Shamit, yeah.
Yeah, he was like 1-for-7.
Yeah, and on defense, he's a little bit bigger than he was, but he's still... can't hold the point of attack defensively. On this team, you kind of have to defend.
Who's Trey Burke playing for now?
Dallas, again, for the second time.
Oh, that's right. Dallas grabbed him.
For the
and, and undoubtedly somebody must have saw a highlight of him making a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden he comes back.
He should have been starting.
In the forefront. So with the highlight of Trey against the backdrop of a stink game from Shake Milton, we're back in Trey Burkeville. Come on. Joe, West Oak Lane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
How you doing, Dad?
What's up, Joe?
Hey, man, let me tell you, basketball dynamics work like this. When you have a guy who's ball dominant, right,
mm-hmm.
who handles the basketball,
mm-hmm.
and he does not shoot the open jump shot, I'm not talking about three-point shot,
mm-hmm.
but he does not shoot the open jump shot, he makes the players around him look bad.
I agree.
When that happens, when that happens, it's up to the coach to coach this guy or sit him right next to him on the bench until this guy learns to play basketball the right way. Ben Simmons is holding the Sixers hostage right
Joe,
now.
Joe, you can't do that in the NBA.
Yeah,
you know you can't do that in the NBA. You can't play the spike game in the NBA by sitting Ben Simmons until he learns how to shoot.
Right.
You can't do it. You can't have him off the floor.
I agree, but so we're in a bad place because Ben Simmons does a whole lot of things great. I actually like Ben Simmons. I love his physical fitness. He's a dog on defense. I love that about him. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But because you won't shoot the jump shot, you're going to make players around you look bad. That's including the point guard, the shooting guard. They're going to look bad. They're going to have bad games. And I don't like the fact that they put Shea Milton out there at their starting point guard spot at this time. I like Shea Milton, and I think it was just a bad game.
Okay.
But he had to be coached up to look for his shot, and that's up to Brent Brown. I do not like Brent Brown as a coach. I will be glad when they get rid of Brent Brown, because when you got a guy that's lighting you up, 9 for 12 from three-point lane,
mm-hmm.
all you can do is deny him the ball.
And yeah, I agree with you. Brett Brown losing his job is going to be an inevitable result if what happens is what I think is going to happen. So that'll take care of itself. In the meantime, it's counterproductive to say, well, they should have Ben shoot. Yeah, we know. We understand that. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. And to think that they haven't yearned for him to do it and haven't been in his ear, and that everybody he meets tells him the same thing, is just being naive. The guy won't do it. And like I say, I don't even think he's going to do it next year. So how does his team survive? I don't know. New coach next year. Without him shooting, maybe he'll be able to get a little more out of his team than this coach has. Aaron Norristown. Oh, what a day for Aaron. Oh, Aaron, look at that Stanley Cup. Here we come.
Michael, you know what? I know you've heard me. Everything I've been telling you this year is coming here. They haven't lost back-to-back games since January. This is not unexpected. Their only downfall this year was when Konechny got hurt and Lindblom got diagnosed on the same road trip in late December. This team has been building. I've told you they have three Stanley Cup coaches. If you watch that game, Michael, the best thing about that team is their defense is like a wave. It is a constant wave. They take the pressure off the forwards. They always push the puck. You cannot get away from that team. You may get a few good minutes. Like, you start good against them, and then you know what? You score a goal late in the second period, and as they've done all year, you know when Boston got their next shot after that goal was scored in the second period by Boston? With 9 minutes left in the third period. So they've been doing that all year. They have stretches in the third period where they're almost like the coach from Remember the Titans, the defensive coach who said they're not going to gain another yard. When those assistant coaches, Yao and Therrien, get control, and assistant coaches have so much more to do in hockey than in any other sport because it's a fluid game. That team is rolling, Michael. When I called you last week, we'll see. Well, I'm going to ask you, what did you see?
Well, if you were listening to the show, you know what I saw from lines one to four. The line that lines one, they're legit. They're a legit team. I always said they were a legit team. The only thing I had to see, and it was natural, you're coming off a delay like that. We'll see if they still have the same sink. And they did. And I'll tell you something else. Boston didn't have any sink at all, and they were bewildered at the end of the game that they got shackled. It was almost like they took the Bruins' heart out of them.
I hear you. They didn't have any sink because the team that they were playing took them off. I think they had an embarrassing game against Columbus the game before. They came out like, which I knew was going to happen. They came out hard in that first period, and the Flyers withstood it. And the kid, who literally is used to playing in empty arenas in junior championships for Team Canada, stood there like a rock, like a rock. He is going, that is a playoff game, Michael. You know, that is a playoff game. If they get the number one seed, they reseed in the NHL.
Yeah.
And even though, and by the way, Raffle is out. They're going to be playing Farabee. Okay. Raffle is out.
Okay.
So, but that team's so deep, and they're so well coached, and they're so, like, they don't even know how good they are yet.
Let me ask you a question regarding the kid. The mask. What's on the left side of his mask?
I
figure a hockey guy like you would be able to observe that.
Michael,
he's got a face on the left side of his mask. Who is it?
Well, I know he is. I know why he wears 73 for the kid who used to be his number one fan. The kid who has autism. That's why he.
It's an ex hockey player. At least to me, it is. I noticed it right away. I identified it, and I'm thinking a hockey man like you.
When I pay attention to the details of the game,
I pay attention to the details. It looks like to me that is Ray Emery. On the side of his mask.
Yeah, that is actually, I think that...
He's got Razor on there.
Razor on there, yeah. Michael,
I'm disappointed in you, Aaron.
How good did the kid play?
He was great. He was great. What do you want? I mean, the whole team was great from top to bottom. I don't have any worries at all about that team. Now, the way they came out and the way they played in the exhibition season... This coach has this team driving lines 1-4 with mobile defensemen making the right plays, getting the puck in his zone, jumping into the play, putting heat. I like the way they're playing. I mean, the only team now that you look at, the Bruins, I think, may have hit a wall. And I think that was a big psychological trauma they suffered, losing to the Flyers like that. So now you look at, all right, let's see how they go against the Lightning. That's the challenge. Next challenge. 610-632-0975. Open lines right now. Good time to get in if you want to comment on what you think's wrong with the Sixers, whether it's salvageable, and where this Flyers team is going. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 3:30. Let's get an updated Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Agonoff. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. The poll has over 1,700 votes on this one. Have you lost all faith in the Sixers after the loss on Saturday? 57% say yes, 42% say no.
Okay.
It went up.
Yeah.
It did go.
Went down and then went back up again.
This is
going
to be an interesting number to follow all day long here.
Yeah.
As we have our conversations. Sometimes it amazes me, the reach of the show and the coincidences of the people that listen. Because, and how we get into certain topics. So we got the topic of Ashford Simpson because I got an email saying that Nick Ashford could have done a better job guarding T.J. Warren. Right, out of the blue, Nick Ashford of Ashford says, so I start talking about Ashford and Simpson. So I just got an email from Elliot, who's a local guy, he's a mortgage guy, and his email says that his stepdad is James Simpson.
Okay.
Valerie Simpson's brother.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, yes.
What?
Yes. And, and he's Nick's Ashford's brother-in-law, James Simpson.
Right.
Right? Well, not only that, but Valerie has another brother who is, his name's Raymond Simpson, who was the lead singer, cop, in the Village People.
That was her brother?
Yes.
Really?
What? Cop was her brother.
Wow.
And so this dude said, his stepdad, he was all... all around the tours and the party and travel with the Village people and the whole bit. And Ashford Simpson was in, they would throw an annual 4th of July party. It had every significant black figure from Maya Angelou to Oprah Winfrey.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That's incredible.
That is
incredible.
Really is incredible.
That's incredible. So on that note, do we have, is it still good to you?
Yeah, I got it.
Here we go. Here you go, Nat. A little taste of Ashford and Simpson. And they're a married couple, by the way, Ashford and Simpson.
They're adorable.
Yes. And they wrote together and sang together and toured together. And they were a viable act for a lot of years and very proficient in albums. So here it is. This is It Still Good to You?
You touched me and made me feel that wonderful glow the way you do. Been a long time since you held me and squeezed me so. I wonder what's come over you. Such a funny thing to talk about. Don't know if it's right to do. Nowhere to turn to.
The arrangements of those kind of songs.
Oh.
Like they had great studio musicians. Like you had a little guitar in there, you know? And their arrangements were brilliant.
They were
excellent. They really were.
Excellent. Right, and it builds up.
Yeah, they were so soulful, Ashford.
Yes. They
really were.
As soon as they opened, I was like,
soulful
this
and smooth.
Is it.
Yeah. Yep. All right, let's go back to the phones. Terrence and in New Jersey. Terrence, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up, Mike?
What's going on, Terrence?
Yeah, man, y'all about to make me bring out my soft side with that song.
They were in love. Come on, I should say they're in love. Love couple.
Yeah. I hope I stay married as long as they did.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about the Sixers, man. I'm all Philly sports fan and I love the Sixers. I'm gonna keep watching them to the end. But unfortunately, Matt Brown, of course, is gonna be their demise. Now I know I'm beating a dead horse. I want to touch on 2 points, Korkmaz and Shake Milton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with Milton because Korkmaz is the obvious. I want everybody to lay off of Shake Milton. That dude from North Jersey, wherever he was from, that said Shake Milton wasn't doing. He basically downplayed Shake Milton. The kid had one bad game.
Yeah.
Okay, he plays D. He can shoot the ball. Okay, and let's not forget the kid had a 39-point game against the Clippers,
mm-hmm.
who's the second-best team. In my opinion, the third best team in the league, second best in the West.
Yep.
And I think they'll beat the Lakers when they're full.
Yeah, it's no time to jump off. I thought we went a little too far with the Shake, but he did play enough to say, okay, he can help them.
Right, right. And I think that with the lineup they have now, I think they match up better with a lot of the Eastern Conference teams also with him in the starting lineup. I think Ben is a natural point forward. That's just my opinion. Now, as far as Korkmaz, I mean, I'm beating a dead horse when I say this again, but I mean, that dude should not be, he shouldn't touch the court. I mean, because he's going to stay in the rotation, that's why the Sixers may not get past the second round. He can't defend. He played 2 more minutes than Thibault and Alec Burks, who Alec Burks had a good game in the limited minutes he played. I don't know why he doesn't play him more than Korkmaz, but it's obvious. And the season, like Mike, the season is not salvageable because they will get eliminated in the second round again just because of his rotations. And it's a shame because they have enough talent to get past the Toronto Raptors, who's well coached, by the way. That's why they're doing so well without Kawhi Leonard, because Nick Nurse is a good coach.
Yes, he is.
And coaching is a major
factor. I think you're right. I think our instincts are both right, Terrence, about how far this team can go. But again, they have 7 games now to figure out a little something, and it starts tonight. They're going to win tonight, so we're going to see some good things tonight that we're going to talk about tomorrow. And Shake Milton's going to go for 15 with 6 assists tonight. I think he's going to give you 15 and 6. And yeah. So now I don't know if it'll continue. Who knows? But I think to bail out on him after that one game is not the proper thing to do. Now, if he plays as vacant as he did in that first game, the next 2-3 games, then you got a problem. And then you may have to go back to the other way.
At that point, you either put Burks in the starting lineup or Thybulle in the starting lineup and give the ball back to Ben.
You know, it's not a bad idea to put Thybulle in the starting lineup just to give you a defensive presence and get a couple easy baskets off turnovers.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that and have Shaq as the first man off the bench instead of Korkmaz. First,
he used him first, didn't he?
And Cork was the first man
off the bench.
And it was a 17-0 run. And then I got to deal with Euro John and people telling me, it's not all Korkmaz's fault. All I was stating was the fact of they're winning the game. Korkmaz came in and immediately, it could have been a coincidence, but the Pacers went on a 17-0 run.
Like I told you, I got nothing left when it comes to that dude. I got nothing more. I've exhausted everything I can say about him. So you decide for yourself. It's up to you. Steel, call from San Francisco. What's up, Steele?
Oh, my goodness. You know I love 97.5, the Fanatic, a Beasley Media Group station. What's going on?
What did you do, move out there, or are you on vacation?
No, I'm seeing some relatives.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not a bad city to see it in. You staying good, though, with the pandemic?
Yeah, I'm
okay,
good.
Okay, all right.
Thank you for asking, and... You call Tyrone and Nally. What a fantastic city this is.
It's a great city. I'm sure you guys have been to San Francisco. No, you haven't. Nally's been.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Philadelphia of the West Coast.
It is a northern city in California.
It's really good. All right, let's talk a little sports, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Mike. The general managers of the four Philadelphia sports, all right? You look at the Scott Fletcher with the Flyers, how he turned this organization around, and then you look at, you know, I don't want to call them boobs or just slow, but look at the other three. What do you think?
Well, right now, none of them have extinguished themselves. Fletcher has. And it's Chuck, by the way. Fletcher. Not Scott.
What do I call him?
He called Scott. It's disrespectful.
Who are you?
Disrespectful after that debut yesterday.
All right. Sorry. Slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's done a great job. I was saying, like, he has read players that, and I use the term eager. And he, you know, you have to, a good general manager has to have an instinct for that. He's got guys that are eager, and he's done it.
The coach, the hockey team, exudes class. And just to piggyback on that, the Klentak and McPhail, what does the president do?
I don't know what McPhail does.
Does he play tennis?
Yeah, I don't know what he does.
He plays tennis. I think.
Well, yeah, I salute to him. He's got a salary. He's got a title. He's got a parking space. At his stage, at his life, what's he care?
Yeah, well, he even said that about making the playoff. If we do, we do.
Yeah.
If we don't, we don't.
Exactly.
Probably how he thinks about a lot of things.
Listen, man, he's busy online looking for a velvet elbow patch blazer.
There you go.
Yeah.
What does he do?
He's looking for.
What does he do? We know who the GM is and the owner. What does he do?
I have no idea what he does.
Is he part of the marketing? Like, does he on that side of it? Does he work on like the business side?
I don't know.
Probably
the baseball's like I do wonder
the business.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Dealing with schmoozing. Like, I do wonder what he does.
Schmoozing. Probably.
I don't know what he does.
Okay.
All right. So on the other side, we do have the Phillies rotation this week. It does not include the youngster. So we'll give you the matchups for the Yankees and see how many games they can squeeze out of this. Four games of the Yanks. What do you got?
You got
2-2?
No.
No? 1-3?
Yeah.
That's over then. Yep. They go 1-3, it's over.
It's over.
Back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, 3:45, Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Sixers, not a great start. Flyers, a wonderful start. Phillies tonight against the Yankees, and here is your pitching and matchups tonight. So, tonight, Arrieta, Garrett Cole, Yanks a huge favorite. Tomorrow night in Yankee Stadium, Aaron Nola against Jordan, Jay Happ. Like the Phillies win. Is that the game they win
that's
in Yankee
one.
Stadium?
Yeah, that's the one.
They beat Jay Happ in Yankee Stadium?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next night, it is Zach Wheeler against Jordan Montgomery, a left-hander who had a decent outing his first time out.
Yeah.
Jordan Montgomery. So Wheeler against him. What do you think?
Wheeler won't go, unless he's pitching a perfect game, they're going to lose because of the bullpen.
All right.
And he's
so
not,
you don't like him to win that game?
No.
All right. And then they're going Eflin against Tanaka. Tanaka got hammered his first time out.
Yeah, he'll bounce back.
All right. So one game they win is Nola beats Happ.
Yep.
On Friday, the rookie will not pitch. It is Velasquez back out there.
Yeah, against the Braves.
Against the Braves. So Vinny's getting another shot.
Now.
This could be his last shot.
Well, the kid pitched Friday, Howard. Mm-hmm. So there'll be no reason for him. And they've passed the threshold. There's absolutely no reason left to keep him down.
Yeah. This is the last start for Vince Velasquez.
You think?
And then, Howard will be in the rotation. Because they can't. They can't. The season's too short to mess around now.
Yeah, I agree with you, but...
Yeah, this has got to be his last start.
It better
be. I'll at least give him credit that they see that. All right, let's go Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Natalie, Tyrone, always. Man, I am flyered up. And that is Ray Emery on the side of his neck.
Yeah, I thought it was the Razor.
Yep, he's no longer with us.
No, he passed away. It's probably his way of paying tribute. I wonder where his path would have crossed with Ray Emery, though.
I don't know.
Was Ray Emery a coach in their system for a while?
Is Hextall still on the right side of that mask?
I didn't see the right side. I just saw
it. It's a beautiful mask. With the white with the black really works good. I mean, it's vivid and jumps out. But, man, this, you know what, Mike? Boston got a hold in a hurry. The only goal they got was off our defense from skate.
Yeah.
And the Flyers really look good. I think they lead the league in holding the other team to low shots. You got to throw the first period out because it was just stale and didn't count.
Yeah, this is a skating team, you know?
It really is.
You got to be on those, a team like Boston to hold them down. Well, how many shots did they? They actually got 35 shots, I thought.
I know. That was a little anomaly there. But for the most part, they block shots. They keep you away from getting shots, whoever they play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can thank Hextall for a bunch of those guys that he loaded up the pantry with.
Yeah, it's true. He's probably getting a little short shrift here. Building this team. Kind of like Ed Wade back in the day with the 2008 Phillies.
That's another guy, yeah. There you go, Moneyball. It took a little Ed Wade in there.
Yeah, that's right. Ed got a little of a Moneyball action. Yeah,
but I am just so flyered up, and I am so glad that hockey's going strong. I just don't want anything to happen in that sport. I am just digging it big time, and because I really fear that football and baseball may not finish, but I like what they're doing. Did you notice that once they got Raffle got his goal, everybody went upstairs on that guy. It wouldn't have mattered if it was Rask. They would have.
Yeah, he left the net open a lot high, blocker high and glove high.
Halak wasn't at his best. But you got to, I mean, it's, you know, you got to snipe that shot. And you look at those guys at the back end. Now, Raffel has played on first line before, so he's got a little more skill. But a guy like Thompson, he sniped it.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's many a Flyers team in the past where you would have never known if the goalie was weak, high, because they didn't have anybody that would elevate the puck. They would just put it into the guy's chest over and over again and say, up, hot goalie, that's why we lost.
And Lotz, he's going to the hand store or something. He went to the hand store, I think.
He's looking good, right?
He bought a pair of hands.
Putting whatever he wants to put it.
Yeah, he is.
Putting whatever he wants to put it.
All right, let's go. Jerome in Elkins Park. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
Folks, how you doing?
What's up, Jerome?
All right. This change that the Sixers are, that the NBA is, as far as, you know, the no fans and everything else, I guess, just to boil it down for me, it's a proven ground for everything. I mean, the team has been in the playoffs, but you don't have any fans, so you don't have that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a definite proving for the head coach. So that's all that, you know, I'm really looking at this set to see. I'm on board just to observe. I'm not going to jump off. I'm just going to, you know, see what happens. I think the Shake Milton move was good because I believe, you know, it's going to – it's just things you observe. You see Ben Simmons is there, like, point blank in certain situations and still doesn't, you know, still shoot the ball. Or, you know, it's as though he – okay, everybody can miss, say, a bunny if it's a contested or somebody, but chest to chest with his height and strength, I'm looking for him to draw the foul. But it's like, it's not like the aggressiveness.
Well, he was
like,
aggressive early. He got, you know, when he got the ball at the top, he got to the basket.
Yeah. But, you know, to finish with it, Mike, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, if there's somebody that's going to come over, it's kind of like, look, just either jam it or draw the foul. It was almost as though he doesn't want to take and go. And, you know, how many fouls does this team get? They play finesse. You know, it's like they follow the lead of the coach and don't go for the jugular enough. You know what I mean? Extend themselves.
The Ben Simmons thing is exhausting to me, brother. I love the guy, and I'm exhausted.
And you're going to disagree with me about this, but Embiid, in a sense, was wrong. You yakking behind the baseline after you pass the ball in.
You shouldn't do that. I agree.
And you shouldn't.
I agree.
And
I agree with it.
Whatever he said, Shake's feeling all shook up. You could see from him trying to take and do too much. And you say something loud enough at the racket. That's not a leader. You take and pull a kid to the side.
I agree. But here's the thing. Shake doesn't have any clout.
Now, it doesn't
to
matter
rebel.
The clout.
Yes, Embiid, it does. You can't do that if you have no clout to your star
Embiid
player.
Embiid is as talented as he is. He's almost, and I'm normally get blasted off here quickly, but as footwork as far as a dream, but that's potential. But he's had guys who stood up to him, whether it's Pau Gasol or whether it's the guy that we have now, veterans who sit there and put him in their back pocket.
He didn't do it against Indiana. All right, so this is the only game we're evaluating. Now, if down the road that happens, then that's a conversation. I didn't like the fact that he showed Shake up there, even though he probably has the clout to do it. I don't think it's ever any good to do it that way. You know, that's a coach's job, probably. And if you got a problem with a guy, then that can be handled in another way. But by the same token, like, what's Shake going to gain by losing his temper in that spot? You know, he's just got to sit and take that.
Right. I didn't like how he threw it.
He mumbled something.
Right. Now, that to me doesn't bother me as much because that stuff happens. But I better not get a lot of callers complaining about that for one reason. You Church of Jordans think it's great to show up teammates and be a jerk to teammates. You better not all of a sudden today decide that that's a bad look.
Yeah, but then they'll say, Embiid no Jordan. Not yet.
No.
Jordan, status.
Jordan wasn't Jordan when he was doing that.
Jordan was God. Now, that's the answer. They'll give you that.
Embiid
not God.
No. You have to love teammates, showing one having his own office in the locker room. You have to like all that stuff, Church of Jordan. All that, having his own office in the locker room so he dresses away from his teammates. You have to like that, too.
Let's take a quick break. We're in the 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show, and it's 97.5 The Fanatic and ABC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.